All right, we're convening back to the Committee on Environment, Natural Resource, Climate, and Energy conference. So thank you everybody for coming back. And I also want to thank the members, those who are conferee and those who are members of the Senate and the House for come up, for spend length of time negotiating and come up with a strong agreement. So I want to thank Senator France and Senator Morrison, as well as Senator Backer-Fenn, Representative Backer-Fenn of the House, for the CWD. So on our agenda will be hearing CWD, PFAS, and make small business offer. And so I want to see if the House have any motion on that front. But I want to thank in advance those who have been working very hard on this provision.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A70 document that says House Research dated 5/4/23 at 5:11 p.m. This is the Comprehensive Chronic Waste and Disease Agreement. And I believe Ms. Taylor is going to read this.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to walk through the A70 amendment. The first page includes the riders, and these were just adjusted to reflect some changes that were made to the language. The section one on the policy front, on the bottom of page two, is the House language with some additional changes. There's language adding, allowing the owner of an escaped servid to retain ownership if it's been escaped for less than 72 hours. There on the bottom of page three is the fencing provision. This is the Senate language with some additional language clarifying that the fencing needs to be adequate to prevent physical contact or escape. Section three on page four is the House language. It has been narrowed so that transfers would only be allowed to the immediate family members. Section four is the House language with some small technical change to remove reference to the double fencing, which has been excluded from this agreement. And the difference between the House and Senate had just been technical in the beginning. Moving to page six, section five, this is the Senate's language that had some additional language stating that the liability was for the herd only when the herd owner knew or reasonably should have known that the animals were infected. Section six is the importation section. This is a modified version that reflects some discussions with the agency. The importation would be restricted to live animals from a state or province where CWD has been detected in the farmed or wild population in the last 5 years, unless the animal has been tested using a validated live animal test and does not have CWD. The zoo exemptions from the House side have been included with this. And then on the top of page seven, section seven, this is the Senate language with a modification to require an interagency agreement to establish roles and responsibilities. Section eight from the House has been modified. This instead of putting in a statutory appropriation, this would require a report by the Commissioner of Ag in consultation with DNR and the Board of Animal Health on any money that they had received for purposes of chronic wasting disease. Section 9 and 10 were same on both sides and have been included. Section 11 was the live animal testing requirement. It has been changed. It's no longer an annual requirement, and it would be, as the Senate had it once, there was an approved test. It's also been changed, so it's no longer referencing RT-QIC. It would be a non-invasive live animal test. And then section 12 is the transfer of white-tailed deer authority. This was in both bodies, but now it would take effect July 1st, 2023. The revisor instruction is the same as, and then Section 14 is the repeal of the concurrent authority, and that would be effective July 1st, 2023.
Mr. Chair, do you want to reinstate your motion?
Thank you, everyone who is involved in this. This has been a multi-year effort. It is a comprehensive package that is a compromise. It is our hope that this will help address the problem of chronic wasting disease that affects our entire state. So I'd ask for your support.
Okay, Senator Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment as reviewed it.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion prevail. And not to forget our agency too on the working on the CWD, especially DNR and the Board of Animal Health that do come to the table and help us tailor this amendment, CWD amendment. So next on our agenda is PFAS. Mr. Chair, member of the House, Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move adoption of a PFAS resolution that I know staff is handing out at the moment, and I would ask Ms. Taylor to run through the PFAS provisions, unless Mr. Stanley might be. I would ask either nonpartisan staff from the House or Senate to run through the PFAS offer, whoever feels they are most ready to do so.
Mr. Chair, members, after many careful hours of negotiation, we've decided that I will walk through the agreement.
Thank you.
So the first item on the agreement is the A68 amendment, which should be being passed around. This is the main. This is a revised version of the main PFAS statutory change that was in both bills. There were some slight differences between the two. The version you see in front of you is the Senate language with a couple of exceptions that I'll mention right now. The first of these is found on page 4, lines 17 through 23. The language in both bills requires that certain information be submitted to the PCA when a product containing PFAS is sold or in the state. This language that I just referred to deals with pesticides and related fertilizers, agricultural liming material, plant amendments, soil amendments. Those are already regulated under other statutory chapters, and there are filings required for those products. And so what this language does is say that the information about PFAS can be submitted with the filings under those other chapters. There is a similar change on page 6, Mr. Chair. There's language in the on the bottom of page 5 and at the top of page 6 that authorizes the PCA to prohibit the sale of products containing PFAS other than those listed in paragraph A. And what the language on lines 13 through 16 of page 6 does is say that if you're talking about pesticides or those other products I just mentioned, the agency has to work with the Commissioner of Agriculture in order to prohibit a product, or to say that under paragraph C, to say that the presence of PFAS in the product is a currently unavoidable use. And then also, Mr. Chair, on line 23 of that same page, there was language in both versions that said that the PCA commissioner could work with certain agencies to enforce this section, and on line 23, the Commissioner of Agriculture has been added to that list. And those are the only changes to the A68. Again, that's the Senate language with those changes I just went through. The rest of the agreement, policy-wise, was to include House Article 3, sections 35 through 37 and 45. These are identical to corresponding Senate sections. These are the sections that deal with PFAS in firefighting foam. The agreement includes accepting those sections, as well as House Article 3, Section 44. This requires a group to get together and study the possibility of requiring fees on those who manufacture PFAS-containing products. House Article 3, Section 46 is the House's version of the firefighter turnout gear report requirement. The Senate had this in its bill in a rider, but the agreement is to take the House policy section. The agreement also includes Section 47 from that same article, which would require the PCA to adopt water quality standards for PFAS. And the final policy section is Section 48, a House-only section requiring the adoption of health risk limits for PFAS, PFOS. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. It's related to PFAS, but different, PFOS. And then there is a change from what was in the House version of that language. The House language currently would take effect on 2025. This would push that back 1 year to 2026. And then I'll turn it over to Mr. Mueller to briefly describe the fiscal part of this agreement.
Mr. Chairman, the appropriations part of the agreement, I'll go through. The first one is $155,000 from the general fund for the rulemaking. This was in the House bill originally. It's $155,000 general fund one time. There's money that was in both bills, same amount. It was split a little bit differently between the years, but $2.278 million from the environmental fund. And then it's 1.115 per year in the tails and from the environmental fund for implementing the new PFAS regulations in this agreement. Again, that was in both bills, so it would include that. There was in the House side, there was a PFAS manufacturer fee report, $50,000 one time from the remediation fund. And then also from the House bill, $229,000 from the special revenue fund dealing with the firefighting foam. And I'll just note that this does not close out all the PFAS. There are some other PFAS grant programs that are still in the PCA's budget. This does not exclude still working on those, but this just applies to this agreement right here.
Member, any questions on the PFAS provision explained by Mr. Stanley? Okay, with that said, Senator McCune.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I have had the opportunity to review all of the provisions in detail that are a part of this agreement. We've had a lot of discussions and a lot of work over the entire session that has led us to this place, and it is my recommendation that we accept and adopt this agreement.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye. Yes, that's
I was just going
Represent
to make a motion.
Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to renew my motion, and I wanted to, before we adopt it, I just wanted to thank everyone who worked on this. And I wanted to especially thank Amara Strandy and the entire Strandy family for their relentless advocacy for this. Minnesota invented PFAS and these forever chemicals, and I think by adopting this, Minnesota is also going to invent a solution and a way to move forward on this problem. And with that, Mr. Chair, I renew my motion to adopt this PFAS agreement.
Thank you, Representative Jordan, for mentioning the Strand and Amara Strandy family. And, our condolences go to them, and we'll remember them as we progress on this legislation that will soon to be law, and make sure that we stop PFAS as it is. Thank you for renewing your motion. And Senator McCune, you want to renew again, or you're good?
I enthusiastically support this agreement and recommend that all of us get behind it. And okay. Couldn't agree more. Thank you very much, everyone, for your work.
And I want to thank both of you, Representative Jordan and Senator McCune, for spending tireless hour working on this. So thank you very much. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion prevail. Okay. Chair Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I will move a spreadsheet that has a few items for the small agencies. Senator Herr and I have been working on this for a week. I would note one of the small agencies we have set aside to continue the discussions on, that is the Minnesota Zoo. But proposed is a budget for the Metropolitan Council Environment, Conservation Corps, Science Museum of Minnesota, there are a couple other transfers that are in the account. So Mr. Hagemeyer or Mr. Mueller?
Looks like it's me, Mr. Chair. You'll have the spreadsheet. It says Environment Natural Resources Finance on the top, Small Agencies Conference Committee Agreement. Bottom right-hand corner is dated today at 6:47 p.m. I'll start on line one is the Metropolitan Council Environment. There is $9 million for modernizing regional parks and trails from the general fund. The line number four is Metropolitan Parks Maintenance Increase is $6 million. You'll see the mapping infrastructure for climate risk was not included. There is $2.75 million for inflow and infiltration reduction grants. There is $1 million for the White Bear Lake Area Water Use Work Group. There's $1 million for EAB hazardous tree replacement. And then there's $1.5 million per year ongoing from the Lottery and Lou account dedicated for Metropolitan Council Parks. In total, there's $19.75 million in general fund and then $1.5 million per year of Lottery and Lou money to the Met Council. Starting on line 14 is the Conservation Corps. They'll receive an operational increase of $125,000 per year from the general fund. On line 29 is the Science Museum of Minnesota. You'll see they'll receive the governor's recommendation of the maintain current service levels of $121,000 the first year and then $181,000 per year thereafter from the general fund. And then line 32 is the House provision for the debt relief employee retention proposal. And this is $7 million one time that is included in the agreement. On line 35, the House had the provision to extend the Legislative Water Commission or reestablish the Legislative Water Commission, and that is not included in the agreement. Line 40 is the University of Minnesota. So this was where the House had proposals under the University of Minnesota and the Senate had them through the DNR. So the 50-year clean water plan is gonna be at $200,000 through the DNR. On line 43 is a CWD contingency planning. And again, the Senate had it through the DNR and it'll be included there at $1.633 million. And then there is $1 million for AIS research from the general fund. And then on line 47 is the Public Safety Department, the appropriation from the Special Revenue Fund. That's related to the PFAS provisions that were just adopted and that appropriation was already referenced there. In total, the direct appropriations are $28.3 million in the current biennium and $612,000 in the tails. And if you flip the document over, you'll see there's an agreement on some lottery and lieu increase. The agreement is to up the percentage that goes to the current accounts, which is currently at 72.43%, up to 75%. And then add the two new accounts that the Senate had at 1.5% each. So in total, it would be an additional $2.374 million from the general fund for the current accounts, an additional $1.386 for each of the new accounts. And then those continue on in the tails as well at $2.4 million for the current accounts and $1.4 million for the new accounts. And just to note on that, the chairs, there could potentially be additional lottery loot changes, but this is a minimum threshold that they're adopting at 75%. And that is all I have on the spreadsheet, Mr. Chair.
Any question from Mr. Chair?
And Mr. Chair, I believe you had suggested there was on the White Bear Lake provision to add an oral amendment for North Oaks to be included among the communities that would be included in that.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe the rider for that doesn't currently include North Oaks, but the if that's the motion, we can certainly include North Oaks as listed in the rider.
That would be incorporated in the motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for remembering that section. I appreciate the work that you and I put together, especially on this small agency budget, and then come to some compromise. And I'm also glad that you we were able to include the Larry and Lou into this negotiation as well. And you know, I know that the comfrey we all associate to our members out there, and I want to acknowledge one of our members in the Senate who put lots of time with the Lottery Lou program, make sure that the lottery funding for Parks and Trail do include rural area near his district, and also pretty much rural area and the underserved. So that is Senator Housechild, and so I want to acknowledge his hard work that he actually introduced to us a innovative plan so that money can go to the rural area and also engage the underserved in terms of Park and Trail. So, Mr. Chair.
I believe Ms. Taylor needs to read the amendments that we had to adopt, or the language changes to make the spreadsheet work. So, Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, included within the agreement would be the adoption of the A69 amendment, which would replace the Science Museum rider, and that should all be in your packet, as well as adoption of the A71, which replaces the Met Council's Influent Infiltration rider. And then just to point out what the difference is in the lottery and lieu language that would appear on R127, this would be Senate Section 64. The 2 on line 128.10 would be changed to 1.5. This is the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails account. And then 1 on line 128.16 would also be changed to 1.5%, and that's the underserved communities account. And then, as mentioned, the overall percentage on line 127.28 would be no less than 75%. But it is to be determined at this point.
Mr. Chair.
And members, it would be our hope that this one-time large appropriation of the Science Museum would be able to secure the future for the Minnesota Science Museum, Science Museum of Minnesota. We would hope that it can rehire the employees. That's part of those retained employees that were laid off, support employee contracts, and provide for outreach and diversity and inclusion training. The Science Museum is something that children all over Minnesota appreciate, and we want to make sure that it survives, and hopefully this one-time payment. I know we had asked for more, but it was something that was not included in the Senate provision, so that is support that we appreciate. We want to continue the discussion on the Minnesota Zoo, and that'll continue as this conference committee continues, as well as a discussion about lottery and lieu. There are a number of big budget issues that we have to do, and we felt that providing for the little agencies, the cool agencies, I think is what we started calling them, that would start that process. So I ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. After reviewing the agreement or the proposal here, the offer that we make together, accept the offer, and so I ask members to support. So now that I have the gavel after the acceptance, I will call that all in favor of the offers of small agency agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion prevail. Mr. Chair and members, any remarks or comments? Mr. Chair, if no members first, any remarks from members? Phone call? Yeah, okay. So, Mr. Chair.
I think tomorrow the room will be at 11 o'clock, the Legacy Committee, which you also, Conference Committee, will be working at 11. We will tentatively schedule this Conference Committee to start at 12. It is probably likely that we will convene and then recess, but that is the tentative schedule right now. Look forward to it.
Okay, any question from members? All right, well, the Committee on Environment, Natural Resource, Climate, and Energy is now adjourned.
Oh, what happened?